Well, good morning and Happy New Year. We don't wish Happy New Year at the beginning of December very often, but I think we should because this is a new year. This is the new liturgical year. And the church, every year when we come to that first Sunday of Advent, that is the beginning of our new liturgical year. We have a fiscal year. A lot of times starts in January. We have starts in July. Calendar year that starts in January. But the liturgical year is always the first Sunday of Advent. So it's this opening season. The church always gives us this opportunity leading into Christmas, this four-week period of time leading to Christmas where we celebrate Advent. Now, for those of you who've been Catholic your entire lives, some of you for decades, I'm curious, how many of you know what Advent actually means? What does the word Advent mean? So I want you to discuss it with your wife, discuss it with your kids, ask, what does Advent, the word Advent, actually mean? I'll just give you a second, talk about it. I want to see how many of you guys are right on this. For what it's worth, I did not know what Advent meant until I was in seminary. So what does Advent actually mean? I'm curious how many of us are going to get this. Advent, the word Advent. Okay. So the word Advent is actually combining of two Latin words together. Ad, and vente or vientis. Adventus means the coming or their arrival. That's what Advent means. It's a coming. We're celebrating the coming of Jesus. O come, Emmanuel. Advent, O Emmanuel. That's what Advent means. Out of curiosity, how many of you guys knew that ahead of time? How many, we got that? A minority. Okay, so good. You've learned something. All right, so that's what it means. O come, Emmanuel. Come, Lord Jesus. It's the welcoming back. Now, Advent, again, we're preparing for Christmas, but did you hear anything about shepherds in Bethlehem and stars and angels and any of that in today's reading? No, you did not. Because there are two Advents that we celebrate liturgically during the season of Advent, two distinct Advents. The one Advent that already happened, the coming of Jesus in Bethlehem and the manger and all that stuff, but the other Advent hasn't happened yet. And that's where we start. That's actually where we begin the season of Advent, is the coming back, the second coming of Jesus. And I don't know if you caught that in the gospel, but Jesus says that four different times just in today's gospel of Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming, at the advent of the Son of Man. So it gives us comparison to Noah. They were eating and drinking and partying and having a good time, and they didn't realize that the flood was coming. They didn't care. They were until the rain started falling, and they're like, oh, maybe this Moses guy wasn't so crazy after all. So, and then a few verses later, he says again, they did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So will it be at the advent of the Son of Man, at his coming. Again, skip down a few more lines. Be sure of this, therefore stay awake, for you do not know on which day the Lord will advent. What day he will come. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour of the night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. And so the thrust of today's gospel, the last line, this is the point that Christ is trying to make, what the church is trying to drive home. So too, you must be prepared, for in an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will advent. The Son of Man will come. And so, the season of Advent, to start with, at the outset, we are singing, O come Emmanuel. We are singing, come Lord Jesus. We are asking for that second coming. This isn't our home, and we're not meant to be here. And whether that be our own particular judgment at when we die or at the end of time when Jesus comes back, and that's kind of the apocalyptic nature of today's gospel, it's that second advent that we're kind of driving home today. Now, in the season of Advent, it's just like in the calendar year, in January, you have all your people who make their New Year's commitments and all the new year, new me, that kind of thing. And I think there's really something actually very helpful about that, of like, hey, clean slate, new beginning, I'm going to start fresh on something. But, you know, every year, and they have all kinds of statistics on this, all the people who their New Year's resolution is to work out, going to go to the gym, going to lose a few pounds, going to start a diet, and by January 15th, they're all gone. Like, the odds of somebody sticking with it, like, it's just pretty slim. But again, they do statistics on all this stuff. But the people who are successful, the people who actually make it in diet and exercise, they almost all have something in common. The highest predictor or likelihood is that they don't do it by themselves. They have a workout buddy, they have a group, they have a spin class, they have something else, someone else that calls them at 6 o'clock in the morning, be like, hey man, I'm on my way to the gym, I'll see you there. And you are far more likely to carry through with it if you're not doing it by yourself. The season of Advent, what the church is asking of us, this preparation of our hearts for Christmas, but also for our own death, for the coming and the return of God. That's what all of this Advent is about. And this season is like what the church presents to us in the other readings. I don't know, maybe you missed it, but it's this idea of a mountain. From Isaiah, the first reading, this is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest mountain. The zenith, the pinnacle, the summit is the God's house at the top, right? Then Psalm 22, our responsorial psalm today. We all just said it multiple times. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. What house is King David talking about in Psalm 22? What's he referring to? The first opening line of that psalm. I rejoice because they said to me, we will go up to the house of the Lord. In the mind of the Jew, going up to the house of the Lord, that's what you did. Physically, just geographically speaking, Mount Zion, the temple, the holy site, in the city of Jerusalem, the highest point in the region, that is the temple. Mount Zion is the highest point. So if you want to go to the temple, you physically, literally go up the mountain. Now, is it a mountain in like a 14er or something like that? No, but it's the idea, the concept of going up, that you have to ascend. That house of the Lord, we're not just talking about the church building here. Let's go to church on Sunday, although that could be part of it. But I think essentially what we're supposed to be recognizing here is the ascent of the mountain of the soul. The ascent and the climbing of our soul, that we start at the base. And just like a mountain, you don't climb a mountain by accident. You don't just accidentally wake up one morning and find yourself at the top of Mount Everest. It doesn't happen. In order to go up a mountain, you have to make a series of deliberate choices. I'm going to put my foot here. I'm going to put my hand there. I'm going to exert energy to push myself up this mountain. Now, you can go down a mountain by accident. You can go, gravity will take care of that real quick for you. But you don't go up a mountain by accident. So if that's what we're collectively singing, if that's the vision that the church is supplying for us in the season of Advent, is we're climbing this mountain. We're going up to meet the Lord at the pinnacle. And throughout Scripture, over and over and over again, the mountain is the place of encounter. That's what we're offered in Advent today. This idea of this interior climbing the mountain, moving upward. And I would ask you, and that's where the second reading really comes in, is St. Paul saying, all right, the night is far spent, the day draws near, cast off the deeds of darkness, let's not conduct ourselves in orgies and drunkenness and promiscuity and lust and rivalry and jealousy. We used to be pagans and we used to live that life, but we're not there anymore. So let's stop acting like that. We belong to Christ, and he's calling his flock to like leave that stuff behind. That is the call of Advent. That is the call of like, in order to climb up, you have to leave that other stuff behind. So I would just ask you maybe to pick one thing. One thing for Advent, and maybe for the new year, your New Year's resolution, spiritually speaking. What is one prayer that you could add, or one vice that you can overcome? Just pick one thing, simply one thing. As I was kind of thinking about this for our parish, my thought was, you know, how can we collectively pick one thing, just one simple thing as a parish to move forward in? And that's where the realization of, like, you know, singing the Our Father in Latin. Now, I know very few of us are native Latin speakers, but the same document in 1965 that allowed the Mass to be translated into vernacular English and Spanish and Italian, from Latin into the vernacular, that same document also said, but we want you to retain Latin, at least some Latin. Specifically, two specific things they asked all churches to retain is the singing of the Our Father in Latin and the singing of the Creed in Latin, those two parts. And that's why in Advent and in Lent, that's why here our practice has been to sing those parts of the Mass in Latin. But this year, what we haven't up to this point sung the Our Father in Latin. And so that's where I like collectively for the next 4 weeks for us to sing that Our Father in Latin. And, you know, we'll be leading it. And again, it's in your book on it's a hymn number 842. And so we'll sing it together and we'll work our way through it. But it's just, again, I think one small way for us at St. Peter to be connected to the universal, the Catholic and universal church. So us collectively, yes, but then also us individually climbing that mountain of the soul. All right. At this time, there's the rite of acceptance as we go through, or as we have our candidates who are kind of going through the OCIA process. This first Sunday of Advent is a time where they have the rite of acceptance, and part of that is the reading of the creed. And so we'll move through that part real quick. And as I ask them, do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, and all that? And they'll respond affirmatively, but also for all of us as well. And then we'll move from that directly into our petitions today.